So back in those days, we gave little thought to what was being lost, the price we were having to pay for the economic revitalisation of the Midlands. So endless the expanse of the great raised bogs appeared back in those days. And it becomes harder and harder nowadays to appreciate just what an extraordinary expanse of natural peatland there was back then, 50, 60 years ago. Around the time I was cutting turf in Clonoll, J.J. Moore, Professor of Botany at UCD, was studying the vegetation of the bogs. At that time, a lone pioneer. And this is what he wrote about the experience of that, somewhat later. He wrote, "When I wandered over the raised bogs of the Midlands as a student in the 1950s, I enjoyed an experience which it is impossible to have anymore. The experience of being isolated in a vast brown ocean of bog, extending to the horizon on all sides, where the only landmarks were church steeples. One always needed to carry a compass in those vast areas. This experience can no longer be enjoyed, since all these large bogs of up to 10 kilometres diameter have been cut. At present we have no one drained raised bog left, which is more than 300 hectares in extent." But back in the 1960s, when the conservation movement was gathering pace in Ireland, and awareness was growing among young naturalists in particular, we were wrong in assuming that because so much was lost, all was lost. Two things have happened to peatlands over the last 50 years in parallel with their gradual disappearance. First of all, we have come to understand much better the enormous ecological vitality of cutaway and cutover bog. While it is true that, as Father Moore wrote back in 1982, the experience of being isolated in a vast brown ocean extending to the horizon on all sides is something we can never again have, it is only half the truth. The removal of the larger bogs will give us as much as something like 100,000 hectares of cutaway bog by, say, 2030. Its subsequent development will be one of the great reclamation ventures of Europe, on a scale comparable to that of the English Fenlands or the Polders of Holland. And although the larger raised bogs will all have gone within a generation, we are still in time to make sure that the exchange has the richest ecological dimension to it. The economic return of a large acreage of expensive reclaimed cutaway is not enough. The new landscape must be adequate in terms of richness of experience, not only for the visitor, but in the first place, for those of us who will continue to live here when the bogs have yielded their harvest of peat. Secondly, that awareness of the need to preserve what bogs we could, which was largely confined to a handful of students back in the 60s, has spread into the population as a whole, even if it still remains a minority. Since the 1960s, there has been a growing appreciation and awareness of the value of biodiversity, not just in itself, but for the values it represents in our lives. You can see that in the increasing number of studies of different facets of the landscape of Laois that have taken place since then. Bogs and rivers, mountains and woods, farmland have all been studied at different times in varying levels of detail. We have a committed professional heritage service, the County Heritage Office, on top of which we have the watchful guiding hand of Europe to encourage us in the right direction. But all of this still actively involves no more than a tiny minority of the people of the county. Involving more people, especially younger people, presents us with the greatest challenge, one made immeasurably greater by the distractions of the digital revolution, even today, only in its early stages. So we're now at a critical juncture, as the great raised bogs near the end of their productive life, and Bordermona is actively looking at its options for the future of the cutaway. And it's vital that local communities become involved in discussion and planning about their future. And as Gerry has made perfectly plain, The door of Ordnamona is always open. For much of that vast area, something like 100,000 hectares, the most productive use in terms of long-term value to the community to which it essentially belongs, because Ordnamona often points out that in reality is its custodians in this democracy. The most productive use in the long term is that it should remain in perpetuity as the last place in the Midlands of real extent where we can experience and be enriched by contact with the natural world and study of the natural world, where biodiversity can be maintained and nurtured. And this is why Abeilik's bog is so significant. The significance of the bog in broader terms, of the project in broader terms, is that here we have in place the germ of something that needs to spread more widely, a spark that can start a fire, where the community takes control of the bog from which its turf once came and nurtures it for the other values it represents for that community in the longer term. It has the potential to be a nucleus and a magnet in terms of people and of places. Of people in relation to the number of other communities who might embrace this model, adopting the management procedures and structures, or adapting them where necessary to their different circumstances. And of course, in tandem with that, in terms of the peatlands to be designated as community reserves in this way. Abeilik's model can also be a model, along with a handful of other communities and places that are doing something similar, in looking at an expansion beyond the confines of the bog in Abeilik, and where the opportunity presents itself, doing so in partnership with other communities. The installation of the boardwalk is a milestone of particular importance in the development of the bog project, providing, as it does, the physical access that is essential to any personal encounter with the natural world. The bog also offers the kind of experience we may use to focus discussion on the broader issues of biodiversity more generally. This, of course, isn't the proper place to talk about this at all, this fundamental issue. But in the 6 seconds it takes me to complete this short sentence, an area of natural forest the size of a football field disappears. In a year, that is an area larger than Denmark. Today, we can see more clearly than Father Moore could, because we are 40 years wiser than was possible in his time. And now, in some of the places where once endless bogs stretched, there is a mosaic of woodland and wetland and wild grassland, which, with the necessary commitment and concern on our part, can spread and interconnect with other areas of new wildness to create an ecological network where our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren can wander and explore and experience wild diversity and abundance of a kind we lost in our lifetime. And they, in theirs, will have found again, including heathland to which the nightjar will have returned. Enough species diverse meadow for corncrakes to answer each other back, and perhaps reed marsh from which we may hear once again the booming of the bittern, banished 2 centuries ago. We must not only hope and pray for this, but do everything in our power to make sure those who come after us will have the wisdom to be the custodians of this new landscape for another 100 years, and all the centuries after that are as close to forever as our human limits will let us dream. But I want to finish by repeating those famous lines of Jeremy Hopkins, which sound more apt and true every time you hear them. What would the world be once bereft of wet and of wildness? Let them be left. Oh, let them be left, wildness and wet. Long live the weeds and the wilderness yet. Thank you very much.